are listening to
101.PiFM.
CITR.
And I say that because in the beautifully appointed CITR lounge, there's a beautiful CITR pie.
Yay for pie.
By Duncan.
Thank you, Duncan.
So somebody at CITR is finally going to get a piece of the pie.
There we go. It's the Inkstud Show, where we talk about comics. And this week, I am joined by a very special guest, Liz Prince. Do we have you there, Liz?
Yes, we do have me here.
We do have you there. Thank you for joining us. Liz is the author, creator of Will You Still Love Me If I Wet the Bed, and Delayed Replays, I guess volumes 1 and 2, but only 2 is available?
At this current juncture, yes.
Oh, see, because I thought you started with volume number 2 as a kind of weird Dada thing or a tribute to Chris Ware or something.
No. I just sold out of volume 1.
It's that popular.
Highly, highly popular.
You have people.
For anyone who lives in France, or I don't know if you guys get French version of my book. You guys are in Quebec, right?
No, we're on the other side of the country. We're in BC.
What? Okay. Sorry.
There's no. I don't speak a single word of French.
Oh, I'm sure you speak a single word.
Well, then never mind this entire diatribe.
We have French listeners. We have Quebecer listeners, I'm sure, if you want to tell a story.
Well, regardless, the French version of the Delayed Replays collection is coming out next month, I think. And then Top Shelf is going to be doing a version of it sometime this year, hopefully July or something like that.
Collecting both 1 and 2 or just 1?
Yeah, and whatever I've been posting on the internet since then.
Which we shall get into, the current Liz versus Liz. When will it end?
When one of us is dead.
Why can't you just get along?
What can I say? I've got a split personality.
Well, I'm quite enjoying it. Now, you started out primarily doing webcomics on LiveJournal. Am I correct in kind of going through history? Let's start from the beginning of who Liz Prince is and who she is now.
Okay. As far as the internet goes, I started posting comics on this website called The Art Conspiracy. I can hear myself talking. Is that... it's a little distracting. I'll try to work through it. Yeah, The Art Conspiracy. I started posting comics on that site probably 7 or 8 years ago, I'd say. And I didn't start using my LiveJournal to post comics until like 2 years ago or something like that. I used it as like an actual journal, as emo as that is.
Now, Will You Still Love Me, that was originally self-released, self-published,
yeah. And then I did a mini comic version of it. Which is about half the length. It's only 40 pages, where the Top Shelf version is 80 pages.
Ah. You bulked it up for the Top Shelf people. Which is a fun book. It's so cute. It's been, like, written with cotton candy.
Yeah. I used magic star beams to write that book. With a unicorn's horn. So, that's where the magic comes from.
I want a unicorn's horn to write with now. Where can you find them?
Unicorn blood.
It didn't strike me as having any unicorn blood.
No?
Yeah, no, because, like, unicorn blood, like, sort of has and would suggest, like, an undertone of, you know, sort of darkness. And I didn't find any darkness.
Sparkly. If you saw the originals, you'd know. You'd tell right away that it's unicorn blood that is drawn in.
I guess I should introduce you properly to my co-host this week. This is Robin Costabares. This is a random voice coming from nowhere.
The ghost of the CITR pie.
Robin is a sometimes co-host of Inkstuds, and also worked on the show that came before Inkstuds, Onomatopoeia. Did I pronounce that right?
Onomatopoeia?
I can never pronounce it right. But Robin is a comics aficionado as well, so you're dealing with Robin and Robin this week.
As well as a comic artist. Wow. I'm a comic artist.
Well, that's strangely fitting, right?
Yeah. Makes it easy to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Disturbing enough.
One of you kind of has an Emo Phillips dictation about you. The other Robin, I'm assuming. Do you ever get that?
An Emo Phillips witch? Huh?
Have you ever heard that comedian? He kind of, your voice reminds me of his. And your delivery.
I've never heard that before. I actually haven't listened to Emo Phillips. But I guess I'll have to, listen to it now so I can copy some lines.
I don't know if I think he's that funny, but his voice is definitely memorable.
Does that mean I'm memorable too?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I feel special for 5 minutes, and then I realize I'm just talking about comics. Now, you have a love for comics, right?
A love for comics?
A love for comics.
I would say it's a little more intense than that. I have a lifelong marriage to comics.
I thought Robin was talking that you slept with comics under your pillow, but it's more like they're taking up the other half of the bed.
Yeah, I stopped that a couple of years ago just because they were getting slightly damaged. It's not archival to sleep with your comics in the bed, so.
Wow.
So keep, a bookshelf close at hand.
I would guess from reading your work that you're heavily influenced by comic artists such as Jeffrey Brown.
Yes, but, you would be correct.
Yes, I wonder sort of what sparked your intense lifelong love of comics, if you recall.
I do recall.
When did the illness start?
It was definitely Karl Barks and Don Rosa Duck stories, the Uncle Scrooge and the Donald Duck books, DuckTales, stuff like that. I started pretty heavily into those books when I was in like second and third grade. But really made me want to draw comics was when Disney Adventures printed the first issue of Bone in color in like three different issues.
I remember
back
those.
In like 94 or something. Or earlier than that, maybe. I don't remember.
No,
the
that's
exact
about,
date.
About 94. Sounds about right.
That sounds right? Okay,
yeah.
Good. I'm glad I have my own personal history, date-wise, historically accurate.
Now, you got into comics through a more alternative thing. You never really got into, like, the superhero.
Well, I wouldn't call
no,
Daffy
I can't
Duck.
Say that I ever had much of an interest in that.
The Daffy Duck's not really, or, I mean, sorry, Donald Duck's not really alternative. It's more like something that would appeal to girls, like Archie or something.
Well, Karl Barks
is a girl.
Yeah,
Karl
so
Barks.
Am I.
Karl Barks is such a great artist. So, like, that's a great influence to get from. Because I don't know, he's so dynamic and so incredible. You ever gotten a chance to see any of his color stuff that he did, like his oil paintings or anything?
Not that I can recall.
I highly recommend checking them out. I quite enjoy his stuff. So You got into comics, you enjoyed the Jeff Smith Bone color stuff, and I'm assuming the black and white stuff as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think his work is far better in black and white than it is in color. That just happened to be what got me into comics and making them, even though my work is nothing like that at all.
That's okay, though. Everyone, take your influence from different spots and stuff. Now, what got you to, like, really want to start doing comics?
I don't know. I think I've just always drawn comics, and I've, at least since I was in, like, 10th grade, kind of seen it as a way to document my daily life and just kind of talk about myself as much as I really want to, which is a lot, obviously.
Yeah, your comics are really, like, sort of a personal diary. Like, it's all autobiographical, right? None of it's, fabricated?
Correct, except for, I mean, obviously the Liz vs. Liz stuff is somewhat fabricated.
Like you
but
don't
it's
have a twin?
More just my internal dialogue coming out.
But that's still, like, sort of accurate to reality, your inner dialogue.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That is the kind of stuff that I say to myself on a daily basis.
Now, one question one of the localers wanted me to ask was why the choice not to erase your pencils in some of your earlier stuff? Like, you don't do it so much now, but in earlier stuff, there's still that remnants of the pencils. There's that kind of a conscious thing to like keep that roughness.
There are no pencils.
Oh, okay.
So far. Yeah, it's all ink straight on paper. So I couldn't erase it even if I wanted to.
Wow, I wanted to comment on that because I looked on the internet at some of your a lot earlier work, and it was a lot more like rigid and sort of clean lined, and I really like how it's gotten that sort of rough, like electric dynamic quality now, and I like how you leave the lines of where you map out the faces and things, so... That's not really a question. I just wanted to comment that I really like it.
Thanks.
Yeah, it gives it a good energy. Like, I really like the art.
Yeah. It's definitely easier to work this way because I don't have to go back and basically redraw everything. If I was penciling and then inking, it'd be twice the work. So
it's a lot of work. I mean, it reminds me, not the way that it looks, but just the approach reminds me a lot of how Linda Berry draws.
That's interesting, because you're maybe the like third or fourth person to say that to me, and that's awesome because she's definitely one of my heroes.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Now, part of having you on this week, not only because I like your work, is that we're doing kind of because March 8th was International Women's Day. I want to kind of do focus on women all month in Ink Studs, especially since the name pretty much reflects the opposite of women in comics.
Your gender specific radio show name.
Well, I mean, what can I say? Comics is a boy club, prominently. So for yourself, coming in as a young female artist, do you find different treatment as a female? What's it, as a female creator, or what's it like for you as a female creator?
That's a hard question to answer because I've only been treated as a female creator, so I don't know if male creators, at least in my specific genre, get treated any differently, but I haven't noticed anything outright. I don't know. I've gotten some mixtapes in the mail. Maybe boys have crushes on me more than they have crushes on other male indie comic creators. But as far as I know, it seems pretty on par with, you know, my male counterparts, like someone like Aaron Rainier or even Jeffrey Brown or something like that.
Now, what kind of, like when you're at the conventions, is it a good mix of men and women, or are you getting the boys with crushes?
It's usually a pretty good mix. It's funny because I'll sound like a total jerk saying this, but they'll be like, I'll be at a convention, I'll be sitting at a table, and there'll be some totally cute guy will come in, and I'll be like, oh, I hope that guy comes and talks to me, and inevitably, he never does. Ever. So,
aww.
I don't know what that actually says about me.
Maybe
I'm just a jerk. But I find that interesting.
Maybe if you had more nudity in your comics, the cute guys would come to your table.
Yeah, maybe if I just dressed up like Vampirella or something like that.
Or get your friend to dress up like Vampirella and sit next to you. She would have to dress up like Liz versus Liz, but almost nude.
I usually sit next to like Aaron or Jeffrey, so I'd want to get one of them to dress up like Vampirella.
Wow.
And see how much attention we get.
Yeah, and you could like paint. You could like paint lines on their face, like divide their face into thirds where the eyes go, and like your drawings. Robin's giving me puzzling looks.
Yeah, if you could see me, I think I'd be doing that same puzzled look.
Okay. Jeffrey Brown and the Vampirella outfit. That's something for everyone to think of. Now, is it... Oh, you said before you're hearing yourself on the phone. Is that still a problem?
What I'm doing now is I'm trying to pull the earpiece away from my... face while I'm talking. I don't know if that's affecting how loud you can hear my voice on the other end.
We can hear you fine. I'm just wondering, if we want, I can do a quick song break and call you right back.
That might be helpful.
Okay. Why don't we take a quick song break? What song do you want me to play now? We played the Saves the Day, Sell My Old Clothes Off, to start the show out with.
You could throw on that Kid Dynamite, Never Met the Gooch.
Never Met the Gooch. That's such a great...
All right.
Okay, so, CITR, Inkstuds, 101.9 FM. This is Liz Prince, and we'll be back in just a second. Inkstud, CITR 101.9 FM. We are joined by Ms. Liz Prince.
Hello again.
Who is not hearing herself in the ear anymore.
Finally. Finally. The other voice has stopped.
I just realized when Robin said your name that you could have a comic strip called Miss Prince. By Liz Prince.
Okay.
Now... How was your trip to France? You just went to the Angoulême. Is that how you pronounce it?
Angoulême.
Angoulême.
Yes. It was excellent. It was a really short trip. I didn't really get to see too much of anything except for the convention, which I don't know if you've ever heard anything about this convention in Angoulême, but it basically takes place in this really small town that's 3 hours south of France, and nothing happens in this town except for this gigantic comic book convention, and it's really outgrown the town itself, so it's a convention that's basically in like 8 or 9 separate spaces, and you have to take like a shuttle bus to get to all of them.
And they treat the guest artists like kings and queens?
Sure, if you call staying in basically like the sketchy equivalent of a Motel 8 on the roadside in France, like being treated like royalty, but I had a really good time. It was excellent. Serge, my publisher out there, is a really great guy, and it was really interesting just to see the differences in the French comic book industry versus, you know, what a typical American convention kind of looks like, and just how they deal with printing comics there as opposed to in a place like the U.S.
What did you gather any inspiration from being exposed to like a whole bunch of different type of stuff there? Was it stuff like you had not seen before? Because I know you're pretty active in the convention circuit in America.
I mean, it was really exciting, and at the same time, it was really frustrating because I got to see all these really amazing looking French books that will, you know, probably never be translated into English. And I actually ended up buying a few things just because the art was so amazing that I couldn't stop myself. And it's interesting, like, such a small amount gets translated from the French to English, you know, like the Johann Safar and the Louis Trondheim. They're kind of like the staples of the, you know, imported French comics. And even they have way more books out in France than will, you know, probably ever see the light of day in English. So it's exhilarating to see stuff like that, but at the same time, I was kicking myself because I was like, man, if I could speak French, I could be reading all these amazing comic books. So I might try to make myself learn, but
or
we'll see how far that goes.
Befriend a French person that can translate them for you.
I do have a friend who speaks French who actually read the French version of Will You Still Love Me If I Wet the Bed to me, and the translation is pretty hilarious in certain places.
Can try doing
it. But I wouldn't make her sit down and, like, read the erotic Johann Safar novel that I brought back from France to me or anything. Although, you know, if she was into it, it might be a pretty interesting experience.
Maybe you should try it on Google Translation. You know how Google has those translation page?
Yeah, I was actually considering it. I got my French publisher puts out this guy Ville Rantes stuff, who's actually he's from Finland, and I didn't buy one of his books, but I was given one of his books, and the art is amazing. And I actually sat there with my little like French phrase book and tried to like decipher a couple pages, and it came out pretty well. I asked my French publisher the next day if I got the gist of it, and he said that I had. But it seems like it would take an awful lot of time to sit in front of the computer and type in like every sentence and then see what comes up. So it seems like an unenjoyable way to read a book.
Probably not like terribly accurate either. I think the Google translation has some bugs still. Liz, I want to ask you about your experiences at art school. Like, how long ago did you went to, according to Will You Still Love Me, you went to the Museum of Fine Arts?
Yes, in Boston. I technically still go there. I'm graduating in May. Right now I'm just finishing up taking a science and technology class, so I'm studying deep sea biology this semester, which actually has absolutely nothing to do with art in any way, shape, or form, but at least I get to learn about some cool fishes. But art school in and of itself, I have this internal debate about whether it helped me get to where I am or whether I would have gotten to this point on my own just because I'm constantly drawing. But I always appreciate doing things like figure drawing and keeping up with stuff like that, because I think that it really just helps the way that I see and the way that I even like compositionally will just arrange a panel or something like that. So I don't know what experiences you wanted to ask me about.
Well,
particularly.
I guess mostly I'm always curious about sort of the climate of how people see comics as an art form, like if it's still kind of the bastard child of fine art, or if people are getting more into respecting it as a medium. So I just wonder.
I think that it's becoming more respected just with things like the Great American Comics show that I think it was traveling some of the MoMA museums.
That was the one that
I got a chance to see it or anything like that. And with things like Chris Ware being in the Whitney Biennial and stuff like that. Actually, you know, one of the things that I actually kind of think is an offshoot of comics becoming more recognized as an art form is that I was in you know, like a regular bookstore the other day, and I noticed that there's a lot of comic book artists who are doing the covers of novels now. And there's a really great Jordan Crane cover for some book called The Dead Father's Club or something. It totally made me want to read it just because the cover was so incredibly gorgeous.
Chris Ware did a Voltaire cover.
Yeah, and I've seen there's like obviously Adrian Tomine's done some covers and Seth and stuff like that.
It's it's pretty much like the Drawing Quarterly.
Yeah, that crew. But they look great. Definitely makes me want to read, you know, a real book every once in a while. Not that I have. It hasn't worked so well yet. But just with my own experience with going to art school and drawing comics, my peers were definitely really receptive to it. Some friends and I started our own comics anthology at the school and encouraged students to submit, and we would put out a thing like weekly or bi-weekly. We'd just photocopy it, and whatever people gave us, we'd put in. People were really, you know, into that. We'd make like 50 copies and they would all be gone right away. But teachers, for the most part, still didn't really like know how to talk about comics, or the criticisms or advice that they had wasn't necessarily that helpful, or I didn't find it that helpful. But a friend of mine and I actually taught a comics class for 3 semesters at the museum school, which was pretty well attended. And I've heard that there's a lot of comics classes popping up in regular art schools. I know there had been some that even had comic programs like SVA. But I think it's becoming a more regular thing.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah.
Scott McCloud's
definitely
doing
talk a big line about that, huh?
Yay, comics! Yeah, Scott McCloud's doing his big tour right now, doing a lot of like school speeches and stuff, and actually he'll be on here on May 31st.
Really? I went and saw when he spoke at Northeastern a couple months ago, and it was really interesting. He's just amazing as, you know, a scholar of comics art.
It's quite, he's very much into it, you know, and it's quite the lifestyle for him. I saw him do his thing at SPX, and it's quite interesting. It's really, like, taking that art school mentality to, like, pull apart the different kind of, I don't know, dynamic aspects to comics and seeing it as a whole art form and the different aspects that are to it.
I really like how his entire family is now involved in this, too. Like, there's some kind of traveling,
oh, totally.
Society for Comics Advocates or something.
They are the really coolest, cute, geekiest family.
Yeah.
It's
great. It's totally awesome.
No, I think it's quite neat. And seeing, like, just the whole family is quite immersed. I think Neil Gaiman's the kid's godfather, both his daughters and stuff like that. So that's quite the love of comics and loving comics.
It's infectious.
It is infectious. What kind of comics are you loving?
It's funny because within the last year I've gotten really into a lot of the French comics that MBM has been translating, stuff like Dungeon and the Joan Safar stuff. That first second imprint that just started out.
I've just been reading Vampire Loves over the last couple of days.
I was just going to say that Vampire Loves is a really great book. I really enjoyed that one a lot. I just went to the comic book store today and I got Buddy Does New Jersey. Even though I'm pretty sure I own most of those hate issues, I like having it in one collected volume.
And the Johnny Ryan intro is awesome. I read it in the store today.
Yeah, I was actually showing some people the comic book Holocaust book the other day because they had never read it. I like his stuff.
I love the,
obviously, you know, I'm very into Jeffrey Brown and you know, that kind of shoegazing autobio indie stuff.
Now, have you noticed, like, getting more into the comic scene? It's definitely like things have changed over the last couple of years, and it seems like there's an influx of a lot more neat introspective comics coming out now. Or have they just always been there and we haven't noticed?
I think they've
always. Well, I mean, I definitely keep up on a lot of comics on the internet, and there's definitely, that seems to make up a good amount of web comics or people's, you know, daily journal comics, which, take it or leave it, can either be really bland and boring or can actually have something insightful to say. As far as, like, printed books go, I don't know. I don't know if I've seen a satisfying autobio comic recently. I could walk over to my bookshelf and look at it and, of course, be reminded of, like, a million things, but I'm afraid I might lose the signal if I walk across the room. I'm going to stay put right here and just sound.
Damn you, Fido.
Do you think you'll always stick with the auto-bio format in your comics, or have you ever had any interest in doing anything fictional?
I've done some short fictional stories. The four-page story that's in Project Romantic is fictional, obviously. I forget how long it is. I drew this thing so long ago for Jeffrey Brown's Elfworld book, which was a fantasy anthology.
They've been talking about for like 5 years, right?
I did something for that. But for right now, autobio stuff is definitely what interests me the most, at least.
Well, why don't I play another song, and then when we get back, let's talk about Liz versus Liz.
Okay, that sounds great.
The conflict. What song do you want me to play now?
I forget what the other two that I gave you are, so you should just choose one of them.
Okay, I've got All or the Thermals.
Oh. Let's do the All song. We'll save the Thermals one as the outro.
Okay, so we'll be right back with Liz Prince, and this is All with I'll Get There.
Maybe Mexico.
CITR 101.9 FM. I was like totally not paying attention when the song was like, oh, the song's done. Oh, I got to press a button. So you're back. Inkstuds, we're speaking with Liz Prince. Before we get back in the conversation where we're going to talk about Liz versus Liz, I just have a couple of local reminders for people. This Saturday is the Comic Jam at the Jolly Alderman, 8 o'clock. If you can find parking there, because Canby Street is hell now. Do you do comic jams, Liz?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you do comic jams with friends ever?
Yeah. My friend Kim and I have hosted several comics parties where we get friends of ours and local comics creators to come over and we pass comics around. And I'm assuming that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Someone like draws a panel and then you pass it along and it usually ends in extreme violence or nudity.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. All of them all end up pretty filthy here.
It's
I would
the
say,
modern way.
Yeah,
it used to be like a good story ended in marriage or death. Now, in modern times, they end with violence or nudity.
Yeah. It's a fun exercise, I guess. Do you find that helps for yourself, working with other people and kind of trying different stuff?
I mean, it definitely gets me out of basically just drawing myself over and over and over again, which is always a good exercise. And it's fun to just kind of, you know, sit there and draw some ridiculous, you know, thing like a worm with a top hat that gets stepped on by God and then everything explodes. And, of course, penises. So.
Gotta have some penises. That's, like, a funny, because I was just about to ask if you would ever enjoy, or you do enjoy, would like to do more of comics collaborations, you know, where they're more planned out and you're doing it with one other artist or that kind of thing. So I noticed you've done a few, you know, with Kaz. I can never say his last name.
Strizipek?
Yeah.
Things like that usually just kind of happen, you know, by accident. Like, we'll be sitting in a coffee shop and then, you know, one of us will start a comic and just kind of pass it around. So as far as, like, purposefully setting out to, like, make a comic with someone else, something that I still haven't ever really done, but I'm not completely opposed to the idea.
Could have Liz versus Liz versus Kaz.
I'm sure he'd like that a lot.
Now let's get down to Liz versus Liz.
Okay.
What happened?
So what do you want to know?
Why is Liz so upset at Liz?
Because Liz has to be Liz every day. She doesn't get a break. It's just kind of like a chance for me to kind of say all these sarcastic things that sometimes I think about myself, or sometimes I don't actually think about myself. But it was a chance to kind of do something that's still autobiographical, but I get to break away from the whole convention of drawing things that, you know, exactly as they happened. I get to kind of invent situations a little bit more and have a little more fun with it.
It's a way of exploring, I guess, a little more.
I'm sorry, what?
It's a way of exploring your character a little more, the character
yeah,
of yourself.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's really fun. I get a kick out of drawing them. They kind of make me laugh.
Is it therapeutic? Do you find it all? Or do you ever make, like, is it like a journey into self-discovery?
I've never really thought of it like that, but, no, it probably, I'll probably look back on it and be like, oh yeah, I was trying to tell myself something instead of just being mean to myself.
Now, looking at your other strips and stuff, you're a geek, like the rest of us.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the blanket statement. I'm a geek. I'm a proud geek. So what video games are you playing right now?
I'm definitely still really into Guitar Hero. I was playing it the other day with my friends Maris and Joe. They were up from Maine, and we were playing it laying down on the couch and trying to see who could get the highest score, who could play it, you know, on the harder level, better line. It's really hard to play that game lying down. I don't know if you've ever tried it. So that was a good waste of an entire day. Other than that, we only have a PlayStation 2 at my house, so I'm interested in getting a Nintendo 64 so I can play. I've heard rumor that there's all the Legend of Zelda games are available for not Nintendo 64, mm-hmm. sorry, GameCube. You can see how mm-hmm. long it's been since I've owned a Nintendo system.
I love Nintendo 64. I love it. And, you know, if you get it, you have to get Banjo-Kazooie. That's such a good game.
I'm not really, like, a huge video game person. I really like the Legend of Zelda games.
The Nintendo 64 ones are pretty awesome. I'm a fan of those.
Legend of Zelda, there's too much, like, running across fields and, like, sailing across the ocean and... You know, like in the Ocarina of Time, the Nintendo 64 game, before you get the horse, you were, like, running back and forth across this giant
field.
I
kind of enjoy it. It's like... Yeah. It's like...
Makes it epic.
It is epic.
I like those down moments, you know, when you're just chasing chickens around and picking up and throwing them for no reason.
If you kill the chicken, all the chickens gang up and peck you to death.
Yeah.
Everyone's done it. I'm going to keep kicking the chicken. Guitar Hero, I actually know that it's quite the... It's an enemy of comics. Because I've know Steve Rolston had a was telling me he was really getting into the Guitar Hero, which you know made him have to catch up.
That guy? Did you guys interview him, or do you just know him?
Well, he's a Vancouver guy, but I did interview him last summer, I think.
That's interesting. I've known that guy for like a really long time via the internet. I was the, and this is probably like incredibly nerdy, and I'm divulging way too much about myself, but I ran the Oni Press fan club a million years ago, back when it was just like a group on Yahoo.com.
Nice.
Like to have chats with like Jamie S. Rich and James Lucas Jones wasn't even affiliated with them now. And he's the main editor. I mean, he wasn't affiliated with them then. He's the main editor now. And he used to, you know, join us in those little chats and stuff. And Steve was pretty active in that before he even started drawing stuff for them. So it's good to see him around and hear about him.
No, he's got a couple things out. He's got The Escapist that he just did. And I was actually at a party that he was at a couple weeks ago. A whole bunch of us are going down to the Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle at the end of the month.
Oh, cool.
I don't really know if I'm excited about it, but I have a feeling I'm going to get angry at people in Star Wars outfits.
Well, if you, I'm sure you'll see Kaz there, so you should say hi to him.
I will. Actually, I've been reading Morningstar, and I'm quite enjoying it. It's an excellent little epic.
It's a really good book.
I think we're running out to the end of our time. Do you have any more questions, Robin?
Yeah, I have a question. No, I have. You can't run out of time yet. I just, my question is, when you draw your autobiographical comics, like, how reflective are they? Like, is it more like a diary where you record stuff that happened recently ago, or do you leave some time in between where you can kind of digest what happened in your life and get more, what would be the right word, like where you get more philosophical about it?
Where I have like more of a perspective on it before I draw it?
Yeah, exactly.
I pretty much, if I find something humorous enough to draw a comic about it, I pretty much draw it right away. I work in sketchbooks all the time, and those kind of become like a little more of a diary. I don't want to say I do writing, I draw on sketchbooks a lot, and it kind of ends up reflecting how I'm feeling or having more of a personal feel than some of the strips do, because sometimes they're just about, you know, something as mundane as, you know, playing Guitar Hero lying down. So there's not too much that I really have to think about when I draw something like that.
So it's like the reader can have this like immediate experience of what it's like to be Liz.
That's the main goal. I'm hoping that everyone who reads my comic knows what it's like to be Liz and realizes how incredibly awesome it is.
The awesomeness that is Liz. Getting to the point of Guitar Hero where you have to create new challenges just to be challenged.
Well, I don't want everyone to think that I'm really good at that game, because there's only a few songs that I can really comfortably beat on hard. So, you know, if anyone feels like challenging me, they'd probably be disappointed.
Do you have Guitar Hero duels?
I've been to a Guitar Hero party where we mostly played cooperative. We own two guitars at the house, but one of them doesn't actually work with Guitar Hero 2 because it's not an official harmonics guitar, which really sucks. So I hope to buy another one so that my roommate and I can actually play together.
Now, you said you're graduating from school in, I guess, a couple of months. What's your plan for afterwards? Or is that one of those weighted questions like, don't ask me?
Do you have an after-school special?
My entire life is like an after-school special. Jeez.
Kids, don't do crack.
Will I ever get over my bulimia? Who knows? My plans for after school are to get over my bulimia. I might pick up anorexia for a little bit and then drop it. I've already wrestled with several painkiller addictions.
You'd never guess any of that from reading your comments.
Yeah,
so pure.
I try to keep it light for my readers. But in all seriousness, I pretty much working longer.
We're losing you.
You're losing me.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
You're fading in and out.
Yeah, you're fading in and out there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm back now, hopefully.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm working on two longer stories that are both autobiographical, but they're different in tone than the comic strips or Will You Still Love Me? So I'm hoping to finish those. And I pretty much just plan to keep drawing comics as long as I, you know, have the inspiration for them.
How long are those longer stories going to be? Do you have a rough idea? Or?
I'm expecting both of them to be, you know, around 200 pages each. So
that's long. Is there going to be a lot of negative space in the pages?
they're just really long, drawn-out, complicated things. So I wouldn't expect anyone to see those for quite some time now, but I am working on them. Oh. And in the meantime, people can keep reading my little gag strips on the internet.
And that's at comic, nrrd.livejournal.com.
Yes.
Did I get it right?
Comic nerd.
Like a riot nerd, that's but who's right. into comics?
I like riot nerd.
It goes with our International Women's, I guess, month we're doing.
Yes, it used to be
maybe I should have played some Bikini Kill and La Tigra.
Actually, that's what I should ask a quick question about, is your music selection. I didn't know much about your music taste, and it was the probably the most rockin' show I've had as far as...
Well, like I might have mentioned in my email to you, I had like a giant anxiety attack about choosing songs. And I basically, since it's getting warmer here and it's nicer out and I've been able to ride my bike around, which is something that I heartily enjoy doing, I basically chose, I made this like get psyched mix, and then I chose the four songs that I feel like make me the most psyched, the most fist-pumpinist, air guitarist songs that I could come up with. So I decided that would be a better thing than, you know, my favorite emo songs by Elliott Smith Cry Fest or, you know, indie rock things.
Will You Still Love Me If I Play the Wrong Song?
No.
Robin's been denied the love. Well, you know, it's nice though, because sometimes, like, it's interesting for me seeing different people's different music requests, and obviously in comics there seems to be an unusually large amount of 1920s blues.
Really?
So it's nice to hear other requests. Some people don't even give me requests. Like, I don't know, just play whatever you want. So I actually appreciate getting requests. It's like, I don't know what to play, and I'll end up playing some music that's really offensive.
You could do, like, random, where you go in the record room and spin around a bunch of times and pull one off the shelf.
The unfortunate thing is our record room here is all from the 1970s and 1980s. So I'll probably pull out, like, a Billy Joel record. Actually, I'll probably get in trouble for saying that. We're at a college radio station where everything's alternative. And, you know, I don't know if you heard, like, the song that was playing when I first brought you on air. Actually, you probably didn't, but it was a punk rock show beforehand. So the music actually segued perfectly between two shows. So it's sometimes they'll be playing, like, you know, some like hardcore metal track, and then I'll play like some super melancholy thing for my guests.
Today it's an alternative radio station with pie.
With pie.
I can't stress
what
enough
pie
that there's pie. There
what,
was
what kind of pie do you guys have?
There was a great pie in the lounge that's like this big fat, like, looks like apple pie that says CITR on it.
Yeah, just in like in letters on top, in like the dough or whatever.
Yeah,
it was quite impressive.
It's I felt the love radiating from the pie.
Well, it's too bad I'm all the way here in Boston and I don't get to share in your wonderful pie.
No, we'll send you a piece that might be a little fuzzy by the time it gets there.
It'll be kind of squished because we can't afford to send a package, so we have to like flatten it into an envelope.
Put a stamp on a piece of pie and hope it gets to me.
I think I'll get in trouble for that. I don't think I'll write who to return to. Well, thank you very much, Liz. I look forward to more comics by you. I guess it's going to be a while till we see your epics, but I guess we'll still see Liz versus Liz. Any other upcoming storylines, or is it just Liz fighting Liz for the next while? I know you've stopped at the hats.
Not, I mean, it's just in a, it's always a coincidence if something comes up more than once in my comics. But I do have, I'm going to have something in the Indie Spinner Rack anthology, which I think is coming out at SPX. And there's some kind of Missed Connections comic anthology that my friend Julia Wirtz, who does
the Third
Party
that.
Comic, is doing. And I'm going to draw something for that. So
that's a lot of people are doing stuff for that. And actually, I should mention that you are in You Ain't No Dancer Volume 2, which is a good friend of mine who actually was out on Saturday night with him, Ed Brisson's anthology.
Yes. His books are really great. Do you know if he's doing another one of those?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
It's a tough gig.
Yeah.
On the radio.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't tell anyone.
No. It's a secret.
Yeah. No,
all
he
you
was...
listeners out there, hold your tongue.
Mom, Dad, don't tell anyone. No, we actually... More than my parents.
Mom, hi, Dad.
Yeah. Everybody listens online.
And then yeah. Once it's on the podcast,
yeah, we have a lot.
You can't contain it.
It's all over the world. So thank you. Look forward to more work. I will be, of course, continuing to check out your live journal stuff. You're my live journal friend.
Oh, excellent. I should be your live journal friend too.
It's my
I'll
stuff
work on that.
My stuff isn't very exciting to read. It's what happened on the radio.
Yeah, you already know
I'll
what happened.
I'll definitely tune in and see what happened on the radio today.
Yes, yes. You never know what you might hear. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Bye,
bye.
Liz.
Liz Prince, you can check out her main book, Will You Still Love Me If I Wet the Bed? And then you can check out her live journal, comicnerd.livejournal.com. I will have it linked through inkstuds.com for all of you to check out. I think her stuff's hilarious. I love it. It's, you know, I think humor is important, and humor isn't seen in enough comics nowadays. So everyone, read funny comics.
So ironic.
Isn't it ironic?
They're called comics.
But they're not comical?
No.
They're funnies? They're not funnies? I have a cold. I wish it would go away. Next week, we will be joined to conclude our month of focus on women in comics. Ellen Forney, whose great book, I Love Led Zeppelin, came out for Fantagraphics last year, and I love her work as much as she loves Led Zeppelin.
Yes. Are we going to play some Led Zeppelin music?
We're going to play whatever she wants us to play.
Yeah.
So who knows? Who knows? So she'll probably request that. So I'm going to end the show with... what was I going to play? She wanted me to play. It's the last song. Oh, it was the No Culture Icons. Was that it? Was that the one I was going to play?
While you're looking for that, why don't I do a station identification?
No.
CITR 101.9 FM.
Inkstuds. And what? Oh, yeah. I'm going to mention some other shows that are coming up.
You ruined my segue.
I did. Crimes and Treasons will be up next. And next week, or week after next, after Ellen Forney, I'll be joined by Al Columbia, who I'm very, 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 very excited to have on the show, because I think he is incredible. And I think everyone else should read his stuff. He's fantastic. And... after that, yeah, probably talking to the publisher of First Second Books and Ed Brubaker next month, and a whole bunch of good stuff. I can't think because I'm ill, so send me some Tylenol, cold and flu in the mail, everyone. Inkstuds.com, CITR. Do you want to say it again?
No, I think people know what they're listening to.
101 point pie.
Oh.
Pie. Okay, here's the thermals. No more cultural icons. Pie!